السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله، عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، أما بعد. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. We commence by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, a few thousand years ago, there was a mighty prophet who, with the help of his son, another very great prophet, he built one of the most prominent houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was such a great prophet that until today, we commemorate his deeds. He proclaimed and called people to that house that he built so many thousands of years ago. And when he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to call people to that particular house, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how is my voice going to reach all of them? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the Prophet to go ahead and proclaim, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. Go ahead and proclaim in regard to Hajj. Call the people for Hajj. And he obeyed, he complied, and he called out. And until today, millions and millions of people, on a yearly basis, we answer that call by saying لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ لَبَّيْكَ. Until today, I'm sure most of you, I mean, given the advancements these days with the Snapchat stories and the pictures available online, you can see the beautiful spectacle of people making their way towards the plains of Arafah, towards Mina and making tawaf, the crowd there, mashallah. It's a beautiful spectacle. Until today, millions and millions of people, they answer that particular call. And the Prophet was none other than the great Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, he was a paradigm of righteousness. He was a role model. I mean, if you're talking about steadfastness, you can quote Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. If you're talking about courage, you can quote Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. If you're talking about being a good parent, you can quote Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. If you're talking about tawakkul, the concept of relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can quote Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. If you're talking about a father-son relationship, you can quote Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. His story is filled with so many lessons for us to derive. There are so many lessons. At times we very sadly skim through the stories of the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. A few days back I was in Qatar, and I delivered a talk on the story of the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. It was a 1 to 1.5 hour talk, but there were so many lessons that we could derive from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. We need to put ourselves into the shoes of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam to try and feel what they went through those times. And that's when we start looking at things from their perspective, that's when we, you know, find it very easy to derive lessons from their lives. The story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, so many lessons to be derived. And when we talk about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, what's very important to highlight here is the legacy that he left behind. Just an amazing legacy, Allahu Akbar. Until today we remember him. We remember his wife, our mother, Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam. We remember his son, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. The amount of sacrifices they went through, the amount of trials and challenges Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them through. But they never wavered. They never lost hope. They never questioned the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They complied, they obeyed, resulting in them leaving behind a legacy that resonates of goodness throughout the annals of time. If you don't take anything back home from me, at least take this. Please go back home, or even after the salah. Think about this. This is something that we generally tend to remain oblivious. We don't think about this. When we talk about our legacies, you know, legacy, what comes to our mind now is perhaps a mobile application or maybe a computer game perhaps. We don't think about the concept of legacies. Ask yourselves this question. What is the legacy that I am going to leave behind after I die? What is the legacy? What am I doing towards my legacy, towards securing my legacy? What is the legacy that I'm going to leave behind? Look at the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at the Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. They left behind such great legacies, golden legacies. Allahu Akbar. Umar radhiyallahu an, until today, people talk about his justness. People talk about his rule. People talk about his equity. People talk about so many things about Umar radhiyallahu an. Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, people talk about him. They don't talk about their materialistic assets. Nobody is going to talk about the fact that you were driving a BMW 7 Series perhaps, or a Mercedes Benz. Nobody is going to talk about that. Nobody is going to talk about the brands that you deck yourself with. Nobody is going to talk about your Emporio Armani suit. Nobody is going to talk about your Louis Vuitton shoes. People are going to talk about your deeds, the legacy that you leave behind. People are going to talk about that. And that's what people talk about until today. People talk about the deeds of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The fact that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to sacrifice his own son, he did not question the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, this was after a long period of time. After a long period of time. After facing all of the challenges and trials he faced in Iraq, because he was born in Babel, in Babylon. He faced so many challenges, so many trials, and I'm sure most of you are aware of the story, the way he very diplomatically tried to invite his father towards the truth. And his father said, "La arjumannak wahjurni maliya." Most definitely I shall stone you to death. So get away from here. He moves, he tries to convince his people, his nation, but they don't listen to him. They were a nation who used to worship celestial objects like the stars and the planets. They chase him away as well. And then after the incident of breaking the idols, they decide to burn Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam alive. After that challenge as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to migrate to Palestine. At that point, after such a great struggle, it was just Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, his wife Sarra alayhi salatu wasalam, and his nephew Lot, Prophet Lot alayhi salatu wasalam. These were the only two individuals who had believed in Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. I mentioned this as well the other day when I was in Qatar. Today what has happened is, even the concept of da'wah, it has become all about numbers. All about numbers. You know, I mean, when we try to organize programs, or perhaps even ourselves, we think that, you know, our program is a success, or my messages reach people only when they come in the numbers, when they come in the hundreds and thousands. But look at the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. They did not base the success of their da'wah upon numbers. Look at Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. He strove for so many hundreds of years, almost a thousand years. No one believed in him, not even his own son. Allahu Akbar. He's on the ship, and he's saying, "Ya bunayya, come ma'ana, my beloved son, come aboard, just come aboard." And his son says, "Sa'awi ila jabalin ya'simuni min al-ma." You know what? I'll scale that mountain, and that mountain will save me. He cries out, "La 'asima al-yawma min amri Allahi illa man rahim." There's no escape today, my son, except for the ones whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows His mercy. And whilst this conversation was going on, وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. There was this huge wave that came in between them, and he became from those who were drowned. Allahu Akbar. But he did not lose hope. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he did not lose hope. After striving for so long, it was just his wife and his nephew. They were commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to migrate to Palestine. And now they're making their way to Palestine, and there's this trial they face in the lands of Egypt. Time does not permit for me to go into the complete story. But yet, after moving to Palestine, he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah azza wa jal blesses him with a son. And this was through Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam, his wife Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam. After such a long period, he is blessed with a son. And then firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to drop his wife and his beloved son, a son that he has been blessed with after such a long time, in the middle of a barren desert, today known as modern day Makkah. But at that time it was just a barren desert, not a soul in sight. But he never questioned the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, why are you commanding me to drop my son and my beloved wife in the middle of a barren desert? How cruel can that be? He did not question the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even his family, when he was dropping them off, Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam, she was confused. She kept asking Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya Ibrahim, why are you doing this? Why are you dropping us off here? There's not even a soul to be seen inside. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, after all, being a human being, there was this turmoil of emotions that he was going through. He just kept quiet. He did not respond. She kept on asking him. She kept on repeating the question. Until finally, when he was about to leave, she asked him, Allahu amaraka bihada? Was it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who commanded you to do this? To which he replied in the affirmative. He said, yes. Then she said, my heart is at ease now. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let us go in vain. He's never going to let any harm be inflicted upon us. This was the concept of tawakkul. And obviously, you know, the father and son, the father and wife, they were all very similar. Just like they say, the apple does not fall far away from the tree. As you can see later on, once his son grows up now and he's running around, he's helping his father around, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam sees a dream. A dream in which he's commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to sacrifice his own son. Just imagine, just think of this. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not changed that command, until today we would have to be sacrificing our firstborn. How hard would that be? I mean, we would question our religion. We would question the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, being the paradigm of righteousness, he did not question the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, all these challenges and trials were given to whom? Khalilullah. He was known as the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing his friend like this. Allahu Akbar. For what reason? For him to secure great rewards. And also for his, all these trials and challenges to be lessons for the nations to come after. He agreed. He goes to his son and he says, oh my son, I saw a dream. Ya bunay, inni ara fil manami anni adbahuka fandur madha tara. My dear son, I saw in my dream that I'm sacrificing you. What do you think about it? The son did not go berserk. He did not say, dad, are you crazy? How can you see such a dream? No. You know what he did? Ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar. Look at the beautiful way he replies, my dear father, go ahead, do what you have been commanded. And not only that, he reassures his father, satajiduni insha'Allahu minas sabirin. Look at the comparison between today's children and the children of the past, the children of the righteous. I mean, at the end of the day, it's upon us parents to bring them up in such a way. And this was how Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had brought up Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, my father, go ahead, obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Insha'Allah, you will find me from those who are patient. Satajiduni insha'Allah min asabirin. They both agreed. They both complied to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was about to sacrifice his son. And you know what his son said? Father, face me towards the ground and then go ahead. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam asks his son, my dear son, but why? Why such a peculiar request? The boy, little Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, well dad, if you were to keep me facing upwards, I'm worried that if our eyes meet, fatherly affection, fatherly pity, fatherly compassion might overtake you, and you might not obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you may find it difficult to comply to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make me face downwards and go ahead with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Look at the degree, look at the level of obedience rendered unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being the most beneficent, the most merciful, he immediately commanded that a ram should be brought down, and the ram was sacrificed in place of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. But nevertheless, in regard to the test, both of them, father and son, they passed the test with flying colors. They passed the test with flying colors. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, life is extremely short. Let us use the time that we have to secure a great legacy. A legacy like the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. A legacy like the Sahaba radhiallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Remember, every single day is a race. You wake up in the morning and it's on your marks, get set, go. Every single day. It's like a race, a relay race, where you're running a relay race and you have to hand over the baton to the next person. It's a race where you have to run as fast as you can. Not like the gingerbread man, but still you have to run fast, really fast. Because it's a race, it's a competition. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ Look, the Sahaba رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين, they always had a healthy competition in terms of good deeds. You know, the story is between Umar رضي الله عنه and Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه. There was a healthy competition. Not to gain materialistic assets. Oh, he's bought a BMW, no, I need to buy a Mercedes-Benz perhaps. No, it was all about good deeds. It was all about good deeds. Oh, he's doing a good deed, I need to surpass him. Oh, he has given out this much in charity, I need to give more than him. I need to please the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a healthy competition. They were striving to build their castles in Jannah, to build their palaces in Jannah. But we, on the other hand, yes, we are also striving, but sadly it is to gain materialistic, worldly assets that are very temporary and transitory. It's not haram. But let us get our perspective straight and let us get our priorities straight. Let us focus towards Al-Akhirah. Let us work towards securing Jannah. Let us plant our orchards in Jannah. Let us build our palaces in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to do so. I ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins, accept our good deeds. And just as how He unites us here in this beautiful day of Eid, may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen wa akhir da'wayan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullah khair.